Have you ever wanted to make a transition in your business, but you resisted because the thing you wanted to move away from brought in the largest chunk of revenue for your business? I have definitely been there, and so has today's podcast guest. Allison O'Connor is a classically trained visual artist specializing in nature-inspired illustration, stationery, and gifts. She runs Rust Belt Love Papery with her husband Nick in Buffalo, New York, which is in the heart of the Rust Belt. Allison draws and designs, and then Nick prints, often on their 100-year-old letterpresses. After closing their retail stationery shop during the pandemic, they launched their wholesale line of heart center greeting cards and gifts in 2021. And Allison made an even tougher decision to close the wedding arm of her business, which we'll talk about today. Rust Belt Love Papery's products can now be found in over 1,000 stores worldwide. Allison is a Paper Camp alum and a member of my advisory board mastermind. She's an active member of the Greeting Card Association of America, and she's the committee chair of the industry's Louie Awards. Today, we're talking about how Allison pivoted away from a 14-year career making custom wedding invitations, and she replaced her six-figure custom revenue stream with ready-made products sold to the wholesale market. Allison candidly discusses the transformation of her business model in response to the challenges that the pandemic brought on, including how and why she embraced a wholesale approach. This strategic shift wasn't just about business survival, though. It was also driven by a desire to regain control over her work-life balance, especially given the demands of family life. Now, before we dive in, today's episode is brought to you by our Unlock Buyer Secrets interview series. To make a strong first impression with wholesale buyers, we need to do a few things really well. We need to make it easy for stores to purchase from us. We need to have clear pricing and terms and conditions. And we need to clearly communicate and add value at each touch point. The focus here is on building strong relationships with our wholesale customers. And all of this becomes infinitely easier when we actively listen to our customers. This on-demand interview series will give you a competitive edge by providing an exclusive window into what buyers need and want from you as a seller. And the best part, it's only $27. So get access at prooftoproduct.com/unlock. That's prooftoproduct.com/unlock. I'm Katie Hunt, wholesale expert, business strategist, and mom of four. I'm also the host of the Proof to Product podcast. Since 2011, I've coached thousands of brands whose products can be found on the shelves of indie shops and big box stores all around the world. If you are a creative entrepreneur that makes and sells physical goods, you're in the right place. Here on Proof to Product, you'll learn new strategies for product development, sales, marketing, and more. It's like your weekly dose of business school, and we're going to help you confidently grow your revenue in your own way and at your own pace. So let's get started. Hey, Allison, welcome to Proof to Product.
Hi, Katie. Thank you so much for having me. This is so exciting.
I'm excited to have you. I mean, you and I Voxer pretty much every single day for hours on end, it seems. But to have a conversation about your business journey here on the podcast feels like a real honor. So thank you for joining me today.
Gosh, thank you. I have been listening to Proof to Product podcast probably almost since the beginning. So this is a pretty surreal experience for me.
It's come full circle for sure, which I love. Okay, so you've been in business for 14 years. Tell us about Rust Belt Love. Tell us about your business journey. How did this whole thing get started? Give us a scoop.
Yeah. So Rust Belt Love started 14 years ago, pretty much right after I got married. Like a lot of stationery designers, we got our start in wedding invitations. My business partner is my husband, Nick, and I actually started the company with my sister, and she is a teacher. So, and she had two little kids at home, and she kind of had to step back, and Nick was like, what if we did this together? So pretty much close to since the beginning, it's been a family-run business. And we did wedding invitations for a long time. In 2015, we opened a retail shop here in downtown Buffalo, where we had a little stationery wall, and we would meet with our clients for wedding invitation meetings. And we had that really until 2020, when the pandemic kind of shut everything down. people that owned our building kind of shut down the whole building. And we had a line of cards that we carried in our own shop that we always wanted to kind of launch to wholesale, which is how I found Proof to Product, like sort of getting curious about wholesaling things. But we never really had the time or the space to do it. And then when everything kind of shut down and there was no retail shopping and there was no weddings, we were finally able to, our line that we have now is actually completely different than the line we carried in our shop. But we wanted to create something that brought that special feeling of getting a wedding invitation in the mail, something sentimental and sweet. We wanted to bring that special feeling to everyday life. So that's our line. And we took paper camp and we decided to take paper camp in 2020, in the fall of 2020. And launched online at the New York Now online trade show in January of 2021.
Those were wild times.
Wild times. We were like, it's basically the same. It was not the same.
No.
But I remember being in paper camp and we got to the unit on, you know, doing trade shows. And I was like, oh, that's not for me. I'm never going to do a trade show. That sounds awful. And then we did New York Now in August, which was like the first of that year of 2021. It was like the first in-person trade show again. And I was hooked.
You were hooked.
I was wrong. This is amazing. I love this. I have a love for trade shows. That's not great.
No, it's good. It's good. But it's good for your brand and it's good for your personality. Okay, I want to push pause on this real quick and go back to the wedding days before we head into more of your wholesale stuff, because I think you sold wedding very well for a very long time. It was a very profitable business for you. It was a great model. You had a steady flow of customers, a great referral system. And you knew in the back of your head that you wanted to do wholesale at some point, but it was never a priority because you had the cash flow and everything. The wedding side was flowing so well that it didn't make sense for you to pull your time and attention away from that to start up something new on the wholesale side. Is that how you felt about it?
Yeah, exactly. Our community here in Western New York, we're in Buffalo, and it's a relatively small community. Like I always say, like Buffalo is a giant living room. Everyone kind of knows everyone. And with word of mouth and the relationships we had with the other wedding vendors in Western New York, it was great. It was really working well for us. Yeah, we did it for 10 years and we built ourselves up to a point where we were a destination. People would come meet with us. Like we had all of our invitations displayed and we'd really honed in on our systems where we were able to take, I think 2019, we did 50 or 55 weddings.
Which, wow.
We wouldn't have been able to do when we were first starting out, but we'd really gotten things in place well enough that we could do that. But even doing that, between that and the store, the retail space, that was really all of our time and bandwidth.
Yeah, for sure. And then 2020 hits and you're like, okay, nobody's doing weddings right now. So they don't need invitations. The retail shop, nobody's shopping because everybody's at home. Now we need to turn our attention to this. Did that feel scary at the time or did that feel exciting? Kind of a mix of the two, maybe?
I mean, 2020 was just so wild anyway. It very much felt like this is something I can do. With weddings and custom, you're always making something for someone else. And I was so rarely making something for myself that I remember the other part of the summer of 2020 was Nick loves camping, like loves it. And summer is very busy for weddings and we don't normally get to do that a lot. And I said, that's fine. Let's camp this summer. And he booked campsites like every other week. Oh my God, we must have gone 10 different places that summer. So I have these memories of like sitting on campsites with my iPad and like a pad of paper, just drawing flowers and plants around me. And it was lovely because it was this weird place where like everything felt different and like things were changing. And I'm a person that enjoys change. So like that part of it wasn't really scary. It was just kind of like, I can make all these things for myself for the first time. And my idea, I think even when I started Paper Camp with the wholesale side was like an idea of like almost like a side hustle. Like we'll just incorporate this into our existing business model and see where it goes. And it wasn't until later that we decided this is what we want to do.
Yeah. So let's talk about that, because you were running the two side by side, which a lot of folks do. A lot of folks in our industry have multiple revenue streams in their business. They'll have custom, they may do licensing, they'll do direct to consumer retail, they'll do wholesale, which is a lot to manage, right? Like each of those revenue streams requires different systems, processes, all that stuff. So you basically layered in wholesale as kind of an experiment. But you mentioned already that you quickly realized that that was the direction you wanted to go, pandemic or not. That was kind of because I think, well, you explained to me, why did you decide quickly that that was kind of the avenue you wanted to take and explore and grow?
For us, with the wedding and the custom side of things, it was a lot of, there is a lot of like handholding involved. It's a lot of one-on-one customer service. It's a lot, and there's customer service in all aspects of creative businesses, I think. But with that one, it was, we didn't have a ton of like return customers. So every job was a new customer, and it was always, every year was basically starting over from scratch. And it almost felt like everything with weddings and custom was chasing. Like I was chasing customers. I was chasing invoices. I was chasing photographers. Like even being on social media sometimes felt like I was chasing who was, you know, posting stuff without tagging me or seeing like who had posted. And with the wholesale side of things, it just felt like building. Like we were building relationships. We were building a line. We were building a line of clients that we would be able to have these relationships with. So part of it felt a little more warm and cozy to me, even though I do love weddings and I love our community. And people always ask, like, do you have bridezillas? And we just never did. I can't think of a single client that we ever had for all the weddings we've done that I would call a bridezilla. Like,
wow, that's impressive.
Yeah. Honestly, people would be like, oh, how do you work in weddings? Isn't it awful? And I'm like, no, we have really great clients. So it wasn't even that. It was just, it was also a very different creative process of waiting for people to come to me and then creating something that they want, as opposed to with a wholesale line and the products that we're making. It's like, here, I made this thing. Who wants to buy it? And that it has a very different feeling to it that it was kind of like, oh, I think I'd like to do more of that.
Well, I love the vision of you camping and drawing on your iPad and like doing what feels good to you. Because like you said, on the wedding side, you're bringing someone else's vision to life in that respect. On the wholesale side, you get to cast that vision. You get to share what you're inspired by. Your art is the hero in that. And your art is for sure the hero in the wedding stuff too. But it's more about making the bride and groom or the couple or the, you know, the bride and bride. It's about making them the hero of it versus you shining light on your talents. And obviously too, when we're all making physical products, ready-made products, it is about serving our audience and providing things that are of value to them and solve a problem or speak something that they have trouble saying out loud or whatever it might be. But there's a lot more control, like creative control, when you're wholesaling versus the wedding side of things.
Yeah. And it was also the scaling of it where the way we had systems in place, we were able to take on a large quantity of jobs on the custom side, but the majority of it was on me and it really wasn't scalable. Like when we did that 52 or 53 wedding year, it was like, this is the max. Like there's no way for us to go more than this without like hiring a designer that was the exact same aesthetic as me, which felt impossible. And I know people do it, but it just, with wholesale, it felt like there was a lot more room to grow. There was a lot more growth. There was a more sustainable way moving forward, which at the time in my life felt like what I needed.
Talk more about that, because you have two kids and you work with your husband and you want to go camping in the summer. Like,
he does.
He does.
The seasonality of it, yeah, it wasn't really conducive to, I mean, like kids' schedules. And even when we had the shop, the kids were at the same school. And obviously, this is something that someone can look down the line and obviously know is something that's going to happen. But I hadn't really accommodated for that with our like shop hours. And once they were at two different schools, it suddenly became an issue of driving them places. And as they get older, they have more extracurriculars and just things that take more time that isn't the same with babies. The need to control our hours definitely became more important I remember at one time, especially during the holidays, because in the holidays are the busiest time in a retail space. And
yeah,
we had some help, but the neighborhood we were in, we couldn't justify having like a staff. There were some days that just nobody came in. Like we had a retail space, but the majority of the purpose was to meet with people. So we were working the counter, you know, we were working the shop. And I remember like at one time during the holidays, just looking at Nick and being like, I didn't even want to work retail in high school. Like, well, how did this become our job? How is this what we're doing? So the pandemic was luckily, I mean, terrible, but luckily put some things into perspective where it was literally like, is this what you really want going forward?
I like too how you talked about on the wedding side, they were kind of one and done clients. Of course, there might be opportunities down the road for baby announcements or anniversary stuff or whatever it might be. But ultimately, a lot of it was kind of one-off projects. Whereas on the wholesale side, you've done an excellent job of building relationships and the reorders that are coming in, bumping up your average order value, really nurturing those accounts so that they're not just a customer of yours, but they're also a friend or, you know, a colleague that you can reach out to. And I want to say, you haven't been wholesaling for that long, and you are doing an excellent job of not only curating your product line, but your communication with different accounts. So what do you attribute a lot of that success to?
Oh, thank you. I mean, a lot of it's proof to product.
Oh gosh, I wasn't fishing for that, but.
I know. I mean, honestly though, so doing wedding and custom for 10 years, the first five of it was a mess. Like the first five of it was figuring things out versus by Google. And that early 20 teens girl boss hustle vibe that was like, you know, work 70 hours for yourself to avoid working 40 hours for someone. Like, we drank the Kool-Aid and it was just, yeah, a constant work. And then when we thought about the wholesale line, it was like, no, we are going to take classes. We are going to let someone tell us the right way to do this. We're not going to fumble around and try to figure it out ourselves. So taking paper camp and then coaching, I mean, it really expedited some of like the growing pains that we had when we first started our company. And even though it felt like something totally, it in some aspects felt like starting from scratch, we quickly realized how many business things that we knew about, that we knew how to do, carried over pretty seamlessly into this new revenue stream. So even though it felt like a new company, it was just a new way of doing something we were already doing.
Yeah, you already had a lot of the systems in place. You had Nick doing a lot of the printing. You had a lot of things dialed in already. So it was almost more just getting your sales engines and your sales systems and your pricing and everything really squared away.
Yeah. Already understanding the importance of customer service. Like if you can work with a couple who's possibly doing the most stressful thing of their life up to that point, and then it was almost a breeze talking to retailers by comparison. It was like being able to talk to another business owner as opposed to a customer that you are basically trying to provide a service, but also educating them as you go along. Being able to build a relationship with a retailer who owns a business, owns a store, already knows how these things go, to be able to follow industry standards and not have to not haggle over price, but to be able to be like, no, these are what the prices are because this is what the industry dictates. I don't have to justify that. Like there was a whole lot of the relationship side of it that was just, it just felt really natural and wonderful. And that was a big piece of being able to push in that direction.
Something you just talked about, I want to kind of elaborate on. It's a big difference when you're selling B2C, business to end consumer, right? It's a much more emotionally driven purchase for that customer, whether it's wedding invitations or even off the shelf products. They're thinking about how that product makes them feel, how it solves a problem. They're thinking of a friend that might benefit from it. It's a more impulsive decision sometimes for folks that are buying on the D2C, B2C side. Whereas on the B2B side, which is what we're doing with wholesale, it's a totally different relationship. It's a different buying mentality. It's somebody thinking about their profit margins, their shelf space, their storage space in the back room, you know, their turn times, their credit card bills. You know, they're thinking about their purchase in a much different mindset. And so I'm glad you bring that up because those things not only correlate to the sales process, but they also correlate to the marketing and, like you said, the price haggling and some of these other aspects that we may not be aware of until you're in it and seeing it on the wholesale side? Did you feel like, oh, this feels like a relief a little bit and that we're not having to pitch a new price and package every time? I mean, I know you had set packages on the wedding side, but each deal is a separate deal on the wedding side.
Yeah. And even like educating people on why certain things cost more than others, that and having the same conversations over and over again, which was fine, especially when you had systems in place, but to remove that part of the relationship, it made us able to focus on things like without having to start from scratch and educating someone on why our product is like, I don't have to explain to retailers what letterpress is. I don't have to explain to them how it's made. I don't have to explain why it's more than a digital card. It's just that part of it's removed. So I can focus on, you know, the more emotional parts, the more relationship building parts, even though I can speak to them about, you know, shelf space and seasonality, cards that do well, bestsellers in this. But we also can talk about people who have stores, they want to provide a service. Like we're all just providing service to people. And so letting people know like how their customers are going to consume these products, that is something people want to know. They want to know how they're going to be able to serve their customer better with your products.
Totally. And even though I know your retail shop wasn't, it was more of a meeting space, but you had the retail side of it. I imagine that that also helped you when you started selling wholesale because you were used to seeing customers coming in. You did know what a buyer needed to know. Do you feel like that helped you when you started to do wholesale?
Yeah. Yeah. And even I've said this before, I will say it 100 times. There is something so special that happens when someone is standing in front of a card wall. Watching the way people interact with cards really informed what kind of cards we wanted to put on shelves. A lot of the cards, like we carried maybe 3 or 4 lines beside our own, but our old line was like a snarky card line. And I love snarky cards. It's not our line now. Actually, when we switched over, there was quite a few of our customers that were kind of disappointed that they couldn't find the funny cards on our website anymore. But we wanted to have something that was a little more sentimental, a little more, not obscure, but something that you would go to a store and you have an idea of what you want to get for someone, but then you see another card and you're like, oh, that's not what I came for, but I know who needs to see that. Mm-hmm. And those were the cards we wanted to have on shelves because just the discovery that happens when people interact with greeting cards, especially, is just so special.
Yeah, for sure. Okay, so 2020 is when you kind of decide to go all in wholesale. You did the virtual show. Your love of trade shows in person bloomed in August of 2021. And now I have to reel you in. Do we have the budget for that show? Can we make this work? And you're like, of course, Katie, we can make this work.
Yes.
No, I know. It's fine. You're very much an extrovert too. So you thrive in that environment of talking to people, whether it's colleagues, buyers, you really do thrive in that environment. So I do want to give you kudos for that. A lot of people get intimidated by it, but you really do.
I enjoy talking to people. That is, just as a side note, when we were in Atlanta, Lexi, our studio manager, who is also Nick's sister, she is beloved in the Rust Belt Love world. If you follow us on Instagram, you see Lexi all the time. But she came to help us in Atlanta for the trade show for the first time. And I think after like the second day, she was like, you guys talk a lot. And it was to customers, but to each other, there's just a lot of talking.
Like, oh, yeah.
That is a trade show.
That is what we do here. Yes. Yes. I know. It's kind of like the spot where like we all get out of our little bubbles and we're around the people that understand what we go through every single day. And so again, like whether it's talking to retailers or colleagues in the space, I don't know. It's just magical because you can talk shop face to face rather than on Zoom or a call or something like that too. So yes, lots of talking at shows. Okay. But at what point did you kind of stop doing weddings or scale back? There was overlap for a while, right?
Yes. Yeah. I would say 2022 was when we were like, we want to start phasing out. And we still had a full, because weddings work so far in advance, right? Like it wasn't just be like, well, tomorrow we're not doing weddings anymore. So we sort of started scaling back in 2022. And then for 2023, our main goal in 2023 was to have wholesale replace the majority of the revenue we were originally bringing in through weddings. And we were able to accomplish that, which I still look at those numbers and I'm like, wow, I can't believe we actually did it. But it was winding down in 2022 and then 2023 ramping way up with the wholesale.
I had the privilege and honor of like peeking in on your business and supporting you through some of that in 2023. And I just want to say, you guys really did go very strategically hard in that. You know, you set up your sales engine, you got your welcome sequence going, you got your nurture emails going, you got your pitch list of ideal stores. We dug into your data about which type of accounts were your best accounts and who we could target in that same segment further. Like, you did the hard work with the intention behind it to replace that wedding income. So I do want to give you public kudos for this, because nothing comes easy. And to replace a six-figure income on the wedding side with the wholesale side, it's a big deal. It's a big deal, Allison. And you did it.
Oh, thank you.
Don't get nervous and awkward.
I'm so awkward.
No, you're not awkward, but I just mean it's a big deal. And you and Nick put a lot of time and effort, and Lexi, of course, too, into making that shift. It was a very intentional and strategic shift that you've made. And transition in business is not easy, yet you've been through so many of them. I mean,
yeah.
And I guess, too, being in business for 14 years, you know that on the horizon, there will be more. How do you kind of like reconcile that in your head? Does that worry you? Do you take it in stride now? Like, how do you kind of handle that?
Our business kind of, it's always changing. And every few years, it tends to look totally different than it did before. And it used to scare me. Like, it used to, I mean, I don't know that we ever get over that little voice of like, what if it doesn't work? But right. I think I was originally really sort of attached to the idea of what I thought my business was and what I thought it had to be kind of forever. And the more changes that we did, the more I realized change is fine. And it's actually good because you own your own business. Your business should work for you. Your business should support the life that you want, not the other way around. So if I'm not going to go work for a corporation, if I'm going to be my own boss, then I should make sure that the job that I'm working is supporting me and what I want to do. So yeah. That means constantly changing, because right now, like, my life's constantly changing. Like you said, I've got two little kids. Within the last 14 years, like, we moved our house, we opened a store, we closed a store, we did weddings, we did retail. I used to do wedding planning. Like, I would do day of coordination where I would go set up all the things that I'd designed. We phased that out. So it's a good thing to be able to look at what you think you know about your business and really evaluate that, like, this is okay to change. This does not mean this is how it has to be forever.
I love that you talked about the vision we set out to start this business may not be the vision that we carry throughout the course of the business. And that just because we started with one idea in mind doesn't mean that we have to stick to that. Because as you said, our lives will change, our vision will change, our goals, our definition of success will change, our life circumstances will change. There's so much at play there. We actually had a call yesterday on our advisory board meeting where we talked about like our changing definition of success. And I won't get into the details because it was a pretty personal and in-depth conversation for everyone. It was a vulnerable conversation, right? About how our definition of success has changed. But I think it's important to remind the listeners that it's okay to let go of things that aren't working for you anymore. And it's okay to try new things and see if they stick too. They may work, they may not work. You'll have to kind of test that and see, but it's okay to try that. And I know that you have done that very well throughout the course of running this business.
Thank you. I mean, I didn't always, and especially like in the beginning, I really felt like I was defining my idea of success based on what other people thought of my business. And I think the day that I realized, oh, my parents, my siblings, my in-laws, they don't need to understand what I do for me to feel good about what it is.
Yeah.
And the idea that someone else's definition of success doesn't necessarily align with mine is fine, because my definition is what has to matter. It's my business. I own it. We own it. But you know what I mean? Like, it's our life. And if someone else is looking at it and is like, oh, well, that's not a success until, but it doesn't align with what I want, then it's not serving us. And once I got to the point where it was like, oh, I'm only going to do things that like serve the life that I want, it was liberating. It was freeing. It was like, oh, I don't have to care what other people think. I don't have to make it make sense to other people. I know it does. And that's another reason I love trade shows, because you're with all the people that get it. You're with the people that, like, oh, I don't have to prove it to you.
Totally. And I think, too, there's so much out there. And, you know, we obviously want to celebrate everyone's wins, big or small. And I'm guilty of this, too, of celebrating people that hit 100 stockists or 1,000 stockists, or, you know, they hit a certain revenue goal that they've been working so hard. But even just that singular metric doesn't even tell the full story. It doesn't tell what went into obtaining that. It doesn't tell what that means to their life or their business of hitting that goal. And so I think there's a lot of folks that will set goals or their definition of success based on these arbitrary numbers that really don't reflect back into their personal life. And so that was kind of more what we were talking about yesterday, and what I continue to talk about with folks of, like, we need to set metrics and successes and goals based on what we want. And that's what you're doing. So what we want out of our life, I mean, our day-to-day life, and that will change over time too. So. Well, Allison, this has been such a treat to chat with you. Tell everybody where they can find you online.
Yep. We're on Instagram. We do probably hang out on Instagram most. It's at Rust Belt Love or rustbeltlove.com. And we've been doing a little bit more on Pinterest. If there's any Pinterest people, it's just pinterest.com/rustbeltlove.
Allison, thank you so much for coming on today and sharing your journey. It's just been so fun to watch you and Nick and the pathways that you've taken and the strategy behind it and the intentionality behind it. And there's so much more in store for you both. So I'm excited to watch that happen too. So thank you for joining me today.
Thank you for having me, Katie. Thank you.
Always. Thank you to Allison for joining me today. I have been in a position where I closed a six-figure revenue stream within my business. And really, my reason was to focus my time and energy elsewhere. So I know how scary it can feel. We're forfeiting that stability of what we already know and can do versus giving ourselves the space and time to pursue other things that may be a better fit for our current priorities. And that just feels risky. And although we know that the path to this new version of success, our new vision for the business, is never smooth, taking that risk must be commended. It's not an easy thing to do. And clearly, Nick and Allison's hard work is paying off, and I'm so excited to see where they go next. If you are wondering whether wholesale is a good next step for your business, I invite you to download our free wholesale audio series. You can get that at proof2product.com/privatepod. That's P-O-D at the end. And we will link that in the show notes too. So look for our wholesale audio series. But in this audio series, I answer common questions and caution our listeners about common mistakes that I see when brands are starting and scaling their wholesale programs. You can listen to this on the go from your favorite podcast player, and each episode is bite-sized but also action-packed, so you can listen quickly and then get started implementing very quickly too. Again, that's available to you immediately at proof2product.com/privatepod. Thank you so much for listening until the end. If you found today's episode helpful, please share it with a friend and leave us a 5-star rating and write a review. You can do that very easily on your favorite podcast player, or you can go to ratethispodcast.com/PTP. Again, that's ratethispodcast.com/PTP for Proof 2 Product. All right, friends, have a great week. I'll be back next week with a new episode.